Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
Books. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and this is Bookworm. Today, it's my pleasure to talk to a first novelist who actually lives in Los Angeles, where Bookworm is from. Her name is Rebecca Sacks, S-A-C-K-S, and she's written a book called City of a Thousand Gates. This is the first time since I was very young when my mother gave me a copy of James Michener's novel, The Source. This is the first time in years that I've read a novel that's set in Israel, that is setting about, rolling up its sleeves, to talk about the relationships between the Palestinians and the Israelis, between the Americans who moved to Israel and the Arabs, to look at marriages in which people come from different parts of Israel or the Arab world, and to see the complexity, the enormous complexity of the relations among these characters and how they are, in a sense, predicted by the nature of Israeli geography and Israeli politics. How many characters do you say are in the City of a Thousand Gates?
Thank you for having me. This is very exciting. In the cast of characters, which as a trying to be generous to the reader, so there is a cast of characters at the beginning of the book, and I think it numbers 29, but there are more than that. So let's say the low 30s, I would imagine.
Most of the books I read now don't have overwhelming numbers in their casts of characters. So in a certain way, reading City of a Thousand Gates not only was exciting to me because it took place in Israel and I hadn't read, except for people who write short stories like Edgar Carret, or people who write fairly explicit novels like Amos Oz, I haven't read many novels set in Israel, and you really set me in motion. Now, tell me, what was your intention? Because to me, as I was reading, it felt like there was something like a grid, and that every kind of character that could be imagined makes an appearance in your book, City of a Thousand Gates. Was there a grid?
I was very cautious, I would say, to not enlist any character to represent their identity or religion or their bureaucratic status in Israel or Palestine. So that I remained almost hyper-vigilant about that potential pratfall, that a character could read as a symbol or a cipher or a ambassador for an identity. I generally was compelled to test the consequences of all these different boundaries that really characterize life in the West Bank, especially, but really all over Israel and Palestine. Political boundaries, boundaries enforced by checkpoints, boundaries in language, how people are marked by where they're from. And because I was maybe so determined, I think, to test these boundaries and convey them in through narrative, I ended up locating characters who were I suppose, came from we could say different locations on the grid. Not necessarily because I was committed in covering all the bases so much as I think to really get the narrative value out of all the boundaries that I was trying to let shape the novel.
Rebecca Sachs is my guest. You dazzled me. There were so many nuanced and refined characterizations. When a young woman, for instance, who's been raised as a religious Jew in America, is married to a not particularly religious Israeli Jew, and they have a child together, and they have to make 1,000 decisions about what to tell the child, even though the child is not even old enough yet to understand these decisions. I found it completely fascinating to be with these two young marrieds, to catch them, I guess you would say, on the fly, when they have a discussion with one another about anal sex. Who expected that of these two characters, or that the narrative would get in so close to the very personal and private emotions of Palestinians, of Israelis, of American Israelis, of people from outside the Arab world but living in Israel, even a German reporter who's come to write about the tensions and murders for Der Spiegel, the German newspaper. We're getting a sense of how many directions there are to think about Israel. And I think that many of my listeners are going to want to read City of 1,000 Gates because this information is so unavailable and so very important. What concerns did you have about frightening your readership?
My concerns about frightening them, none. A big concern of mine, I would say, was putting myself to the side. Or so maybe, which is to say, maybe not being limited by my own fear, but by places I was afraid to go, afraid to write about violence I was scared to depict.
I am so unfamiliar with the Israeli world today. I've never been physically in Israel. I've always been interested, but I felt reading this book that I was opening myself up to learning about things that I was very intimidated about as a reader. There are two central acts of violence in City of 1,000 Gates. In one, a boy, a Palestinian boy, is beaten to immobility in a parking lot. This is in revenge for the murder of a 14-year-old girl, even though the person being kicked in the parking lot had nothing to do with, was not present at that murder. But the world of retaliation is central to this novel, and I had to learn about that world. By the end of the novel, there's a famous photograph that gets circulated on a cell phone of an Israeli soldier with an Arabic girl. The soldier has been wounded, and the girl
My, yes, my.
is helping him to walk to where ambulances are. And this photograph of an Arabic woman holding an Israeli soldier by the waist and walking him to his salvation becomes an important symbol of what is possible and what rarely happens. I was very grateful that the book has a cast of characters at the beginning so I could keep track of as many of them as I could. And that in particular was what I meant by asking you, were you afraid of frightening the reader? By the extremity, enormity, complexity, and detail of this cast of characters. People we don't know, whose traditions are not familiar to at least me. I would expect that many of my readers know these things, but that's the relation between a novel, any novel, and a reader. It's a relationship that puts your knowledge on the line and asks you, can you fully participate in the world of this book? And in the case of Rebecca Sachs's book, City of a Thousand Gates, I found that I was more than a full participant. I couldn't stop reading it. I was fascinated by the relations between the characters.
I've tried to be generous with readers, and I suppose I'm also asking for a reader's generosity to be willing to go with me and enter the lives of characters whose daily existence is often very, very far outside a white American readership, to be sure, including my own, I should add. But and I think it was a productive tension for me to really try to write each character not from the outside, but starting from the inside, starting from not what's most important to me about that character, maybe what kind of paperwork they hold, how this will affect them when they cross a checkpoint, but rather what's important to them. What do they care deeply about? So, for example, the character of Mai, who you mentioned, the young Palestinian woman who lives in East Jerusalem, the bureaucratic realities of a East Jerusalem Palestinian are distinct. And I promise I'll only use this word once, but Kafkaesque to be sure. For me, of course, this is something I think about when I think about Mai. What Mai is thinking about a lot of the time is how her relationship with her sister is changing since her sister got married and pregnant. They used to be very, very, very close. And a certain competitive edginess she feels with her sister's husband. And also her outfits. She's sort of refining she's a young woman, she's in her first year at university, and she's sort of refining her aesthetic, deciding if pearls would be too much. So I mean, her concerns, what occupies her imagination are not the things that I am perhaps as the narrator, or let's say as the writer, as the eye looking over this, and also the one keeping track of what information I need to subtly and credibly give to a reader so that they might understand Mai's position. These concerns are a little opposed. And I didn't want to err too far on the side of writing a character from the outside in a way that was creating a kind of performance for the reader, but rather start inside the characters. Yes, let their bureaucratic realities, their material realities, let those shape the decisions that they make and the opinions they have and their responses to things, or even what befalls them. But start on the inside. I tried to start from the deepest place I could with each character, and even on the level of language. I spent years studying Hebrew and Arabic, both the literary and colloquial Palestinian Arabic, and in part because I love learning languages. It's such a relief to not speak English every day. I have to tell you, it's for English to become a private language of dreaming and writing. It's ideal. But when I was imagining the characters in the languages that they speak, in the languages they language themselves in, I think that was such a critical way for me to start credibly from the inside. And this goes back, I believe, to my primary fear, which was that inadvertently I would enlist any character to act as a symbol. All throughout the novel, I think you can see ways in which human beings are treated as symbols.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to KCRW's Bookworm. I'm talking with Rebecca Sachs about her new fascinating novel, City of a Thousand Gates. We'll continue after this short break.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air, new music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm, and I'm talking with Rebecca Sachs about her new novel, City of a Thousand Gates, which is published by HarperCollins. It's a panoramic look at lives inside the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. I must say that I haven't read a novel like this, if ever, in many, many years, that was giving me a spectrum, a panoply of an entire world and the way the characters move around within that world and perceive it themselves, because it's very difficult for the characters as well. These are, imagine it, human beings who understand that hatred and anger is not the best way to proceed with a life, and yet they find themselves within the precincts of hatred and anger. And these characters that Rebecca Sachs writes about are both lovable and hateable. They love the land, maybe, but hate one another. Or they find themselves in a situation where revelation is a distinct possibility. I didn't know that there was much beyond the black and white of this crisis, but you took me into the grays and yellows and fogs, and I was amazed that this could be done. How did you do it?
Thank you, Michael. I think I let maybe agitation guide me, to be sure. Questions I had.
Agitation.
Yes, yes. So, for example, the novel opens with Hamid, a young Palestinian man who has gone inside Israel without paperwork to install air conditioners. He's saving up money for college, and he gets on the wrong bus and finds that it is that, or he fears that it will take him to the central bus station in Tel Aviv. And this was actually one of the very, very first, I thought of it initially as a story that I wrote when I began the MFA at the University of California at Irvine with Michelle Latiolet. I wrote it because I was talking to a friend's brother who told me about, who is a young Palestinian man and who lives in the West Bank, and who told me about a similar circumstance wherein he did not have the correct, or let's say the legally required paperwork by the state of Israel, got on the wrong bus. And he said, "Rebecca, I was terrified that it would go to the central bus station." And I remember I was so confused. I said, "Well, wouldn't that be ideal? I mean, from the central bus station, you can get any bus. What's the issue?" And he said, "No, you really don't understand at all. The central bus station is a scrutinized place. There would be soldiers everywhere. I would be, you know, I might not, I, I would fear that I wouldn't make it out. And I think it kind of, it was like a grain of sand in me or something. Cause I mean, how many times have I gotten on the wrong bus? Certainly in Israel, countless times. And each one was a kind of, you know, cheerful misadventure that ended up, you know, with where I arrived 20 minutes late. But so for someone to be in the same bus lines as me, the same physical space within the same state, and yet having an experience that's not just different, but somehow actually perhaps contradictory, I think kind of forced me almost to write fiction. Before that, I'd been writing nonfiction with myself at the center. And the more I listened to people's stories or observed their realities, the less interested I became in my own narrative, in myself at the center. So I think to answer your question, or at least to begin to answer it, to write the book, I think I had to disappear a little.
You took me so many different places in so many different minds, all of them understandable, apprehensible, but none of them anticipatable. You were dragging me around in many directions, many of them unexpected and constantly shifting. In many cases, when you take a subject, Israel, and you go through the subject diligently, all you're doing is creating a version of what anyone who's been there already knows. I would bet you anything that all of your readers have much to be surprised by and to learn from the City of 1,000 Gates, especially since people are often fearful about the legitimacy of political fiction. There aren't good characters and bad characters. There's every kind of character. There are even within this book characters who are trying to escape the narrative. They're thinking, do I go back to America? How should I become more religious, less religious? Should I change where I live? And in the course of it, it's not just decisions about Israel. It's decisions about how to live. And that, when it happens in a novel, is not only a rarity, but produces the pleasures of what reading a novel are. This was what I would want to pick up a novel for.
I'm so gratified by your reading. I've given myself to this book, but I also put myself to the side and let the characters sort of take over this book. And I learned early on, I couldn't protect any character from the violence of the world they live in. That was impossible. And that would be a lie, essentially, to protect them from different kinds of violence, physical, bureaucratic, emotional. But I have tried to protect them from perhaps my own oversimplifications, my own maybe best intentioned but worst instincts as a writer, to perhaps imagine I'm protecting a character by writing them as a too good a person, or limiting them from the full range of human impulses, you know, everything from generosity and tenderness through selfishness, greed, disgust, hate. So I have tried to do right, I suppose, by all the lives in the book, and I thank you for reading them with, if I can say it, an open heart.
Well, this book, City of 1,000 Gates, is going to surprise and delight and anger and infuriate many of its readers, and it is designed to. The book is designed to move in any direction that it can teach itself to move, and to ask you either to open your hearts or close your hearts in response. But whatever you do, this book, City of a Thousand Gates, by my guest Rebecca Sachs, published by Harper, is a book that will make this world, the Arab-Israeli crisis world, available to you in a very profound way. Thank you, Rebecca, for joining me.
Thank you, Michael.
I want to tell my listeners that due to the pandemic, we are each taping from our respective homes, so you may hear various unusual sounds. You can visit kcrw.com/bookworm for a podcast of today's show, also available at Apple, Spotify, and all other podcast services. It can be listened to on demand with KCRW's smartphone apps. Special thanks to Bookworm show collaborators Alan Howard and Sean Sullivan. It's been my honor in this particular case. The teacher of Rebecca Sachs, Michelle Latiolet, has been on the show several times from the very beginning, and I'm quite an admirer of her work. And as it happens, both of their agent, a woman named Joy Harris, is a woman that I went to high school with, who I met again when I came to New York to visit. I think she's one of the great discoverers of interesting books, I would say, particularly by women. Several of the writers, like Lynn Tillman, who've been frequently on Bookworm, are also clients of Joy Harris. My engineer today has been Paul Smith. The technical director is P.J. Shahamat. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mayle of Sparks.
I'm a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms. And we're just reading this. I am a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air, new music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.